Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No real timeline. We're going through the process right now. You know, we're really excited about the people we've gotten to talk to, we will get to talk to, and so it's not necessarily about the timeline. We want to get this right, and we want to make sure we have all the information to get it right, and that's kind of what we're going through right now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Frank Saravelli with the Chicago Sports Network. He joins us now on Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Frank does so many things, but also helps out at CHSN, and he helps us out too. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
You know, we're kind of taking this one in and trying to understand exactly what's happening here with the Blackhawks. Jeff Blashill is named their new coach, and he will be introduced on Tuesday. And I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. And I don't mean to be less than enthusiastic or less enthusiastic than I should be, but you know that David Carl, they talked to him. There are a lot of guys that were available. And part of the reason a lot of guys are available is because the NHL goes through a lot of coaches. And the Blackhawks certainly went through a couple. So you just don't know how excited to get and how worked up to be. And that is probably very unfair to Frank Blashill.
Well, it probably is. And here's the thing I would say is that this goes for any of the top guys that have been hired through this cycle as well. Any coach is only as good as his players. So to think that Jeff Blashill is going to come in and be a miracle worker, I think, is probably an unfair or unrealistic expectation. The Hawks have a lot of work to do. I think Kyle Davidson is well aware of what's in front of him. They took an important step in the last month of the season in injecting the young players that they added from the completion of their college careers. And now let's see what they fill out the rest of the group with this summer to begin taking that step. So Jeff Blashill, I think, is a quality coach. I think you and I, I'm a lot better in over 15 years doing this. Each year, each couple years, you add different things to your arsenal. You learn. And I think that's the big thing that stands out about Jeff Blashill. He's had an opportunity to learn. I think almost every coach, if they get a second crack at it, is better the second time around.
So when you talk about when they introduce him Tuesday, the first question or among the first questions will be, Frank, how will you help Connor Bedard reach his potential? How do you think he will answer that question, and what can he do?
I think he's going to have to be someone that is incredibly positive and enthusiastic with Bedard. And I'll take it back to the first part of my answer when talking about a coach is only as good as the players that he inherits. Is Connor Bedard is only going to be as good as Connor Bedard allows himself to be. And that is from a physical and mental perspective. I think this, I've mentioned it before, I think this is a massive summer. I think he needed, and is a good reason why he didn't go to the World Championship in Sweden to play for Team Canada, is he needs a full-on mental reset. He needs to take time and put his hockey bag away for 2 or 3 weeks and just work out. And the other part of it is, I think he has to figure out other elements of his game in order to get better. And so both those things go hand in hand, right? He's completely committed. This guy is so hungry to win. I think that passion and fire burns at an incredibly hot temperature. And It's so much so that I think he also gets in his own way. And so if he can come into camp with an open mind and a clear mind at that, that I think these two are going to meet and find a way to get on the same page, that it's going to be really beneficial for both Bedard, the Blackhawks, and Blashill.
Yeah, you know, it would seem that when you hire a Jeff Blashill, you know, the thing you got to ask him is, hey, we got this guy, this young player here who is the centerpiece of the organization. He's meant to be a generational talent, and he took a step back. He took from the first year to the next year, it wasn't great. And when we talked to you about it before, Frank, you mentioned he's got to score more goals. He's got to use that shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I would hope that they've had all these conversations already with Jeff Blashill, and that they feel he is a guy that can work with Bedard, because if this doesn't work, that sends the whole rebuild stumbling back, another few years, for God's sake.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I think the other part of Jeff Blashill's job is going to be to try and take the pressure off of Bedard. Mm. Hey, we don't, like, take that word generational, crumble it up and throw it out. Once you're in the league, it doesn't really matter anymore. Whether or not you're living up to that hype, whether or not Macklin Celebrini is passing you by, mm-hmm. we only need you to be the best that you can be, and that's it. Whatever those expectations are, I didn't set them, you didn't set them. Those are from the outside perspective, and so I think part of it is he needs to know that this entire rebuild, to the point you just made, and I'm going to hammer this, it's not on his shoulders. He didn't decide publicly that he's a generational talent, and he's had to wear that. And I think that's another part that he's really struggled with. So if Jeff Blashill can find a way to remove the shackles of that from a mental perspective, I think that's going to be critical.
So when you look at his background, the last several seasons being an assistant to John Cooper with Tampa Bay, which I think is great, is a great line in his resume. And then the head coaching experience in Detroit, where I think there was a lot of association with Mike Babcock and how maybe he didn't compare, which was a tough comparison, Frank. But, you know, I wonder, you know, which version is more fair to wonder, and which has helped coach or shape his coaching style more, the time succeeding Babcock in Detroit and maybe that connection with him, a successful coach, or the time he spent with John Cooper in Tampa?
I think the truth is probably both equally, because here's the thing, and a big reason why I don't think it's totally fair to look at Jeff Blashill's record and say, hey, why are we going after this guy? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. He was handed a bleep sandwich in Detroit, with all due respect.
Right.
This is a Red Wings team that had made the playoffs for 25 consecutive years and were absolutely due a rebuild. They were hanging on by a thread. And at some point, Ken Holland, their Hall of Fame general manager, pulled the plug and said, it's time. We need to redo this. And they made the playoffs the first year of his tenure, so he kept the streak alive. They were bounced in 5 games, I think coincidentally enough, by the Lightning. And after that, to say, oh, Jeff Blashill couldn't get that team back to the playoffs, like, they weren't even designed to be good. So I think it's a weird thing. So in this sport, I think seemingly more than any other, we tend to look at a coach's resume and we just want to delete the context. So, like, I'll give you another example, because the coaching cycle has been ongoing now. There's other guys in the league that can't get a job again despite coaching 2 teams that were rebuilding. So wait a second, you went to both teams, you didn't have any expectations to win, you didn't win, and all of a sudden you get a stamp on your forehead as a bad coach? How exactly does that work? So then Blashill, to your point, goes to Tampa and has an impressive run with inarguably one of the best coaches in the league. The teams had success, they won, and he's someone that really seemed to be universally respected for his contributions as a guy that didn't wallow, just jumped right back in and said, hey, I'm fired in Detroit after 7 seasons, 500 games. I'm not going to sit on my arse and watch the rest of the league. I'm going to go learn. I want to go learn in Tampa, and I want to learn from the best. And so he does that and now gets a second opportunity. And people, fans in Chicago, want to poo-poo him and say, oh, this guy's no good. They want to write him off before he even walks in the door. I don't really understand it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to do that. I just think that, you know, the problem that you have is kind of what happened in Detroit, right? The Blackhawks have completely, they're in a complete rebuild to the point where they've made 8 selections in the first round of the draft in the previous 3 seasons, 5 in the second round, another 8 in the third round. They got the third pick in this draft. Like the idea that, like, what's in it for him, I guess, is what I'm asking. You know, Jeff Laschel's coming into, you know, this is a team that's going to lose some games. And I don't think they're going to suddenly increase payroll. I think they've got a lot of young guys going to be on this roster.
I think the big difference between the two situations is that in Detroit, he was catching a team that was just on the way down and hadn't even bottomed out. In Chicago, he's catching this team on the exact opposite upswing.
Okay.
They're coming out of the rebuild. This is the exit of it. This last draft is the, I believe you could mark it down as the official end of the rebuild for the Hawks.
Hmm.
I don't think they're going to be picking in the top 5 again in 2026, even though that might be a great year to do it because that seems to be a transformational draft with some very, very special players. So that part is, just think about it like a bell curve. He's right on the upswing now and joining a team that has some special players, Vlasic, Renzel, Levshinov on the back end. You've got 3 bona fide top 6 defensemen that are locked in for the next decade. You've got Bedard if you can, you know, mess around with the Rubik's Cube and find a way to unlock him. And you've got Frank Nazar up front, plus a whole group, more than you could ever want, bottom 6 players that are each going to have their own little interesting role. They've got some Andrew Shaw-type guys. They've got a whole bunch of different character pieces. And they've got a goalie, a young goalie with pedigree. So I view this team as one just turning the corner, and you have to have the vision. You have to have the buy-in, the same thing that they were searching for as we had our conversation about David Carl in Denver.
Right.
You have to want to be part of that. And I think when you look at this cycle and you look at 9, 10, 11 different jobs that were open, I would have had the Hawks in terms of an attractiveness in the top 3 for a lot of those reasons that we talked about.
Frank, you got a great handle on this situation. You're exactly right. And I think, I want to believe that they're going to take that vision into free agency and try to be as aggressive as possible because of the potential here. I hope that they're looking at free agency as a way that they could maybe land somebody who can help Connor Bedard reach that high ceiling that we're talking about. I wonder who that is. I want it to be Mitch Marner. I don't know if that's realistic or not. What do you think the market will be for Mitch Marner if he indeed plans to leave Toronto?
Well, I think he is planning to leave Toronto, and it's going to be very expensive. Like, we're talking 13, 13 and a half, upwards of $14 million on the open market a year. And so that is a massive deal, and you're also now having to think about this summer at the same time, and I know the Hawks have spent a lot of time internally thinking about what does the next long-term contract look like for Connor Bedard as well. So that's going to be an interesting sort of exercise as well. And maybe he says, you know what, I'm going to hold off. I have no idea what his thought process is. Maybe he says, after a relatively disappointing second season, I'm just going to play out this year and see what happens. Maybe that works too. That said, I think if you're not able to get someone like Marner in the boat, that the best thing that the Hawks could do for themselves would be to continue to be judicious with term when they're going out to market. The best part about the Hawks summer last year, even though most of those guys didn't work out, is that they didn't really commit a lot of term. It was 1 or 2 year deals for the most part. Stopgap guys, literal warm bodies to plug into your organization that could hold over the team from year to year. The problem is even those guys didn't provide enough support this year. And that's why you had such a disappointing season. I think where it would really help to be aggressive is certainly on the trade market. That's the place where you can make moves. The Hawks have some extra help on defense that they could trade from. I think a legitimate embarrassment of riches on the back end. And you've got your draft picks. So they've got capital, they've got cap space, they've got flexibility. They just need to channel that aggression properly to make sure that they're finding players that fit their age scheme moving forward, that fill important voids in their build that they're missing right now.
Frank, it obviously takes a lot of different types of players that build up a team. You know, you talk about the blue liners. Obviously, you need skill players. Obviously, you need stronger players. They got a ton of speed among these young guys. I'm not sure they got a lot of size. How does that impact how you play the game? I mean, how would he want to play the game versus what they have to offer him?
Yeah, I think that's a great point because that is a part that probably gets overlooked a lot, which is, okay, you've added this collection of skill and speed, and you've got all sorts of different attributes that these guys bring to the lineup. But a big thing that has been missing, and the Hawks do get pushed around, and they don't have the size to compete against certainly the big boys in the league, that's going to be an issue. I think they've done a pretty good job solidifying that with some size on their back end. The young guys that they do have coming up are all pretty big. And so that part is solved for already. I think they could definitely use more of that size and, frankly, some toughness up front. They need guys that are hungry to go to the net. They need guys that are going to be winning puck battles on the regular. That's their job. They need more of a lunch pail, hard hat mentality that I think has definitely been missing from this group. And I think they were frankly hoping that someone like a Tyler Bertuzzi last year could be part of that. And we saw that in fits and starts. But one of the big things missing from that team, not just from game to game, but period to period, has been consistency. And so that's part of it, too. So I think that's a much needed and important element. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them tackle some of that this summer as well.
Quickly, before we let you go, Frank, we talk a lot about alignment in professional sports. Just curious. Besides Tyler Bertuzzi, who played for Jeff Blashill, I don't know many other connections to Jeff Blashill in the Hawks organization. Does Kyle Davidson have any history with Blashill? I know Chris Chelios does, but he's an ambassador. He's not necessarily part of the operation. Is there any connection?
I don't believe so. I think they met for the first time as part of this interview process. And I think one of the big things that stood out and has always stood out with me when I've had conversations with or have spent time in his orbit, is that Jeff Blashill has a ton of presence. Like, you know, when he walks in the room, he commands that. And I think that's been missing a little bit. Certainly Anders Sorensen, who I think everyone respects and is staying on the bench as an assistant, he didn't have that. And Luke Richardson had it, but I think his demeanor was so laid back and quiet that I think it just made an environment that was too easy for those guys. And so the other fun thing about Jeff Blashill is that he's still a really relatively young guy. Like, it's probably lost on people that he's only 51 and that he has 7 full NHL seasons under his belt already at this point in time. By the time he was 48, that means something. So I think he can connect with these guys. I think he's obviously earned a connection and made that with Kyle Davidson enough to get the job. And I think this team is going to be in for an interesting ride.
So it's a good hire. Is that what you're telling us, Frank? I love it.
I think it is. Like, me personally, I wasn't overly enamored with this coaching class cycle. I think you had a couple guys at the top, and then I think the rest of it was beauties in the eye of the beholder. And I think the Hawks did the best that they could possibly do going out to get Jeff Blashill once they struck out on David Carl.
Great stuff. Thanks a ton, Frank. Really appreciate
Thanks
your time.
So much, Frank.
Have a good weekend, guys. Happy
you
Memorial
too.
Day.
That's Frank Saravelli. Absolutely fantastic.
Terrific insight. He does that job as a hockey insider as well as anybody in that realm.
It makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, he had some good. He knows He knows the situation pretty
true.
Well.
And it's true. Guys on the second go-round usually do better.
Yep.
Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I hate when I come on and I have, I want to call it bad news, but I have major concerns about Caleb Williams. Like major, major concerns.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. We talked to Ross Tucker earlier in the program, and a lot of people reacted negatively to that interview.
Quite a bit of a reaction.
Ross got a lot of people, got their Irish up, got their gander.
Ross
there's some gander going on.
Somebody who is not a hot take artist.
He's not.
A guy whose opinions are off the... They're not a knee-jerk reaction. He thinks about things. He's a very thoughtful analyst, and his views on Caleb Williams have been consistent. The questions he raised are legitimate. I just think that until we hear from Caleb Williams himself, that is why I'm reserving judgment on this specific thing. Now, I think big picture-wise, Mully, he raises questions, that's really where we like to take, or hopefully try to take the story, is that you're always spinning forward. You're always spinning forward,
yes,
looking ahead.
Yes, of course.
So what does this mean to Caleb Williams in terms of his growth in year two?
Yes.
The biggest impact on that, the biggest way to answer that question, the biggest impact on that answer will be the arrival of Ben Johnson and the stability he has in the new offensive line, which the Bears went out and wisely rebuilt because they had to. 68 sacks. 68 sacks as a rookie, to me, helped understand a lot of the inconsistency on the field that we saw from Caleb Williams.
I thought that Ross was a lot more forthcoming or outspoken about just not being sure he trusts where Caleb is. But we talked to Jim Miller earlier in the week, and mm-hmm. I thought Jim did a very good job of sort of addressing some of the idea of where the quarterback goes with the ball and how you feel about it. I can't wait if we get another chance to talk to DJ Moore to play him that cut from Jim, where Jim talked about the reason the guy walks off the field and sits down on the bench is because the ball is still in the quarterback's hands and it's not in his hands on the sideline. And he's kind of telling you, that ball needs to be with me by now. That's a damning comment, David, whether we want to admit that Caleb was sacked 68 times because the Bears had the worst line.
You know, I respect Jim Miller.
Because he was holding the ball for a little bit.
We both respect Jim Miller.
Yes.
I have not heard another defense of that decision by DJ Moore to run off the field.
I got to tell you.
Other than that.
That was.
Okay.
That was a really interesting moment in that interview, my opinion.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But
you think it's not true? You think.
No, I'm not saying it's not even untrue, but DJ Moore, that doesn't excuse that.
No, I'm not.
That was a height of unprofessional behavior, if that's in fact true. And
not arguing that.
DJ Moore, really, I don't know if he ever fully explained himself to us every Monday morning.
He didn't. And he never took a shot at Caleb. That's just not in his nature. He never, and I don't think he did to anyone else. But I think that I've taken some classes at the Brad Big School of body reading, of body positioning and body language. And I do think that things weren't all as happy and sunshine and sunny faces as maybe they were portrayed.
Oh, I think yeah. And I have the same PhD in the big school of body language. I have studied it as well.
I've taken a few classes. You have the PhD.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So I understand all of those things.
Did Brad jump in like on a Zoom at Medill? Did he come in?
You and the Medill.
He can't get
What's wrong with that?
You and the Medill shade.
That's good.
You're throwing shade. He went to Mizzou.
You know, he went to Mizzou.
Yeah.
Didn't you go to Medill?
I went to Medill. Yeah.
Okay, I know that stuff.
All right. He went to Mizzou, though.
It's not butchering where you went to college.
What do they call guys that went to
post grad?
What do they call guys that what?
Wildcats?
Wildcats at Northwestern?
That's what they call Medill graduates, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, they don't. Yeah.
I was just asking.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they do. I think Dustin's brought that up a couple times this week, though, kind of in a way that he's kind of tweaking me a little bit.
No, you're reading into it. I'm not tweaking you at all. I think congratulations on going to Medill.
And
30 getting, years later, thank you.
And getting that Hall of Fame vote and the card that goes with it.
And the free ticket to any baseball game you choose to go to.
Okay, and I'll be at the rate tonight. Yeah, I'll be at Rate Field tonight. Sox.
How long are you staying?
No, why do you got to do that?
Come on.
Okay, why do you got to do that? Let's go back to Caleb Williams.
No hot dog, right? No hot dog?
No hot dog.
It is Memorial Day weekend. I mean, yeah, it's kind of un-American to not eat a hot dog over the next 4 days.
I'm still recovering from the Kentucky Fried Chicken hangover.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so.
How much did you have? Did you have a
too
bucket?
Much.
Did you eat more than like five pieces of?
Not more than five.
Okay. But around
I
there?
I probably had a breast, a thigh, and a leg.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That was probably,
close to a full chicken. Close to a full chicken.
Which was best?
The chicken breast
is the
best.
Yeah, that's true. The butcher knows.
Do you go extra crispy or original recipe?
Original.
Yeah.
Yeah, original. Definitely. And I think that after a night of eating like that, then I don't see a hot dog in my weekend. That's tough. I just can't do it. Even though the food at Rate Field,
Can you get a salad at the Rate? I don't. Right? Probably not. Concourse, probably.
Could you?
You could.
You have to go in the bar's room.
You can get a pretty good taco.
Well, that's not a salad.
I'm just saying.
I mean, some people do put like a salad on top of a taco.
What does that mean?
I'm not saying if you if you
don't want a hot dog and you're looking to eat something, they got a pretty good taco. Why can't I say that?
I think the tacos are excellent at Rate Field.
Really good.
Yeah, I don't think you go to a ballpark though and you think, I wonder what salad is on the menu. I think I'll get a good salad. Salads would be hard to eat at a ballpark.
You know what's good at the ballpark? If you're looking for it, you get that corn, that Mexican corn. They have a stand. That's
Elote?
Excellent. What's it called?
Elote, I believe.
I thought it was just called Mexican corn. It says Mexican corn on the
Maybe
stand.
Maybe that's the fancy word for it.
Okay.
I had a fancy word for one. So
I think you could get a salad and put it in a wrap. Yeah, that would be what I would do.
Oh, like a Caesar salad.
I got a salad that I like to eat, and I will eat it this beat.
Mully's got a favorite wrap, right? You challenge Marshall Harris to have the wrap.
Oh, yeah. Right? I, you know, it's pretty funny. I am a big
we got to bring that back. You have sung on this show, but I don't think you've ever rapped on this show.
You wanted a salad wrap.
This is excellent.
I was trying to help
you. This is a great way to go into the weekend.
Yeah, I love a Caesar chicken wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been around Chicago.
It's outstanding.
I have been to at least the top three
You've
wraps,
recommended one
I've,
to me, and I keep
and
on
I've gone to five. And you're making a mistake.
I know. I don't pass
I think
it on
that
purpose.
Place is excellent.
I need you to go to that place that you can't remember the name of. Oh yeah,
I sent you the name of it.
That's like I can't keep everything.
Oh God, you deleted it.
I accidentally
another message from Mully. Delete. It's so weird to like send David like a restaurant recommendation and get stop written in your text.
Subscriber.
He thought I was some kind of a.
That's right.
It was a political.
Oh my gosh! Another poll.
Just put down stop.
Another poll. Why do I have to do that?
But then, stop but I do. I love like a good Caesar chicken wrap. And I was talking to Marshall about this, and he said to me, "What do you need the wrap for?" And I'm like, well, like, because otherwise it'll fall all over the place. Like, you hold it, and he's like, basically, I should be getting a bowl and getting. And I'm kind of like, God, give me a break. I've changed my life. I'm trying.
I like a good Caesar chicken salad wrap.
Thank you, buddy.
But I also like the taco salad with the bowl being the tortilla.
Oh, that's good.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, that would be good. If they had that at the rate, I'd be all over that.
Do you like the crunchy bowl where you can eat it as
I do.
You go?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I would have that. Now, that might be on the menu this weekend because I think that seems a little bit healthier, and I need to get back into this little healthy food kick here for a while, or at least through the weekend. Because
you had chicken.
I feel like...
Because you've had fast food for the first time in forever.
No, not the first time in forever, but when you eat as much chicken as I feel like I ate, I could feel it this morning. It's like a chicken hangover. I have a KFC hangover.
That is not a thing. Like, you can get beef depression. That is a thing. You can have a big steak and then feel...
Today. Okay. I feel a little bloated, so I can't wait to get to the workout.
What sides did you have?
Fries and coleslaw.
Oh, fries. There's your mistake.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. You'd be better off with the whipped potatoes that you don't like.
I'm not a big mashed potato guy. Yeah. I'm not a big mashed potato
guy. Like in general or KFC mashed potatoes?
Probably in general. Just seems
more like you're more like a baked potato guy?
Yeah, I don't mind baked potatoes. I can prepare a good baked potato. Like, you know, I like a lot of butter. That's my problem.
I've had your popcorn.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Russ Matera, did you hear him?
No.
You were gone during the break. He came in, you know, the guy who runs basically everything here.
Yes, I chatted him in the home.
Yeah, he's got a very impressive title, but we basically know him as the guy who runs everything. Russ Matera told me that he tried last night bacon grease popcorn.
Oh, really?
And he did it the old-fashioned way, and he was complimentary. And he was he loved it, and I'm sure he did it. If Russ does everything, he popped the popcorn as well as he runs things around here. I'm sure it was delicious.
Russ is an underrated man for giving you a good restaurant recommendation at like one of those Wisconsin steakhouses. Yeah, what do you call them? Dustin? What do you call the
Supper Club?
Holy cow! That I got
so like bacon grease baked potatoes next.
Ooh, that would really be good.
Don't you put bacon on a
baked potato? Bacon bits on a baked potato. Yeah, okay. That's really good. With a little cheddar cheese.
Baked potato.
That's it. The cheddar cheese, bacon bits, and plenty of butter.
See, I don't mind butter on a potato. I'm not a sour cream guy on a potato.
Not a big sour cream guy
as
either.
As a lifelong potato eater, because... The Irish eat potatoes. We used to, you would have dinner, and there instead of bread, there would be boiled potatoes. That was like your bread.
Mm-hmm.
A bowl of, instead of like having a bread basket, there'd be boiled potatoes, and you ate those along with your meal.
It was a family tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Meat, vegetable, potato.
Did you grow up, and I have like bad memories of this, do you have peeling potatoes with a potato peeler?
Oh, yeah. I actually enjoy peeling a potato.
Do you?
I shouldn't say that, but I do.
I know what you mean. There's something
meticulous about it that I really enjoy.
Satisfying. It's satisfying.
I also, like, as you know, I can get like a little bit OCD about things, just a tiny bit. I love making the perfect, like, I love when it's all gone.
Like, there's not any bit of skin.
There's no black spot on it.
There's no skin, there's no black spot, nothing.
I
bet you would be very thorough at that.
Yes.
I actually like leaving a little bit of skin.
Just for the taste?
Just for a little, actually.
I like, I consider it a success if I don't gouge any of my own skin in peeling a potato, because that can be easy to do, too.
Yeah, you got to
slice off some of your layer.
You need like a proper peeler. You know what I mean? You need to make sure you got the right one. I had a left-handed one time, and I didn't realize it. So I started peeling them backwards, and then it was like a different world. Everything was fine. Seriously. Can you believe I bought a left-handed peeler?
I didn't know they sold such a thing.
Yeah, it was a mistake. I was at one of those nice places with the nice different stuff, and...
Well, you do like to, you know, class it up when you go out. You're like, you know, you go to these fancy places like you're going this weekend. Detroit. Yeah.
I told you, the French Riviera, the Midwest.
Detroit. I hope you have a great time.
I know I'm going to have a great time. It's a well-worn path, and it's a well-known stop. And
Tigers in town?
Tigers are in town. They're playing the Indians.
Guardians.
So the Guardians, excuse me. Cleveland.
Cleveland.
And
You going?
Definitely not. I am traveling with my wife and daughters. I don't think my son's coming. He's going to watch the house. I told him, protect everything. Protect my belongings. I can't go without leaving someone in charge. So he'll be sitting on the front porch with the gun, waiting for those who have listened to think they're going to rob us.
In your neighborhood. Let's hope that's not the case.
Wait until you
get... He might be the one arrested.
All right, we got
Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody. This is a Take the North live for 4 hours, although they've talked more than just Bears. But I saw Dan Wiederer here.
Take the North crosstalk coming next. Mully and Hawson score.
Maybe a couple of salads would help.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Now we're in a transition a little bit.
And Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We, of course, broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Matt Anaya. He gets us up and he gets these cameras going and we twitch away, and we appreciate his hard work. And thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Also, thank you for listening on this Friday, the 23rd of May.
Yes, we will not be reconvening until later in the week.
No, we're not going to be here on Monday.
No.
Back on Tuesday.
We're taking the Memorial Day.
We are going to take Memorial Day off. We're going to shop for white pants.
Yes, David is totally breaking out his Colonel Sanders outfit that he didn't use when he bought his chicken.
I did not want to get grease on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that'll be a ton of fun to see. Too bad he's not coming in. I want to thank our executive producer is Mr. Dustin William Rose. Ooh.
Simply Dusty. Is there any other kind?
And thank you, Sean, for your hard work. Sean Sears filling in for Brandon Fryer today.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That's good stuff.
I love that.
Hey, you know, we got the crew. It's Take the North, and it's right here. We got the great Mark Rowdy. Rowdy time!
Thank you. I am a key.
Dan Wiederer is in the house. Hey, Dan, looking good.
Great to see you guys.
Walking tall.
Weedsy is here, and now I am thinking I can't get the...
Is Weedsy your nickname? I don't...
I call him Weedsy.
It's sort of evolved over the years. I was just Weed through most of my childhood and college, and it's kind of evolved in the sports world.
Yeah, Grody did show up, exactly. I came into his life. David Haw set the stage for me to join Dan Wiederer. I keep picturing you now in the Colonel Sanders outfit.
I should get one. That'd be a good fit.
What's the tie? The little, what do you call that tie? The nifty little
the bolero
tie?
Bolero tie, yeah.
What is it?
The bolero?
Oh, is that
bolo.
What it is? A bolo.
I think bolo,
bolo.
Tie.
Bolo. Yeah. It's a bolero.
I've never worn one, Mark.
Oh, well,
why would you think I would wear one?
Because I could see you in it.
Because
I could
you see like it. Both types
Doesn't
of music.
Colonel Sanders wear that?
That's
type
what
I'm.
That's what we're talking about.
I know, but I'm not. I don't have a producer. Colonel Sanders outfit. I should get one. But
well, you just said you're going to put white, or you could be like Captain Steubing on the Love Boat. Like you could be a Love Boat guy.
Captain Steubing, underrated member of that staff.
Oh, you think so? I'm a big Isaac guy. I mean, the big smile and just handing out drinks and like he just always seemed happy. I wonder what he really had going on, Isaac. But probably a lot. I mean,
I had a lot going on. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot going on that show.
Oh yeah, Gopher.
Every Saturday night,
Gopher. Yeah,
Gopher this, Gopher that. Right?
Yeah,
that's where Gopher comes from.
Little Gopher.
Canada being a senator, I think, or congressman.
He did.
Yeah,
Senator
yeah.
Gopher.
Senator
in real
Gopher.
Life, I think he was.
By the way, Haw, what was going? Bruce was putting the 46 defense on you during that segment.
Yes, he was
with the press box. Yeah. I knew. I was like, yeah, answer that question. The logistics are like there is an opportunity cost to Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field is wonderful and beautiful, and I've been to hundreds of games at Wrigley Field. Sure. But there is still obstructed view at Wrigley Field. The press box. You put the guy. I sat outside and covered playoff games many a times at Wrigley Field.
Thank you, Mark. I feel seen.
Yes.
Because Bruce did not acknowledge I was not exactly on an island by thinking that the Wrigley Field press box is in need of renovation.
Yeah.
Updating.
Right.
Right.
A little, I mean, maybe it's impossible to do, and they find, life finds a way.
Why would it be impossible?
To extend the press box?
There's just,
I don't
not
know.
Enough space.
Not even extending it. I just mean...
refurbishing?
It's like... trick it out a little bit, you know.
Trick Daddy off.
It's a little bit nicer. The experience.
Pimp my press box.
Now, granted, I'm not there as often as I used to be. I think that's probably people who do go on a regular basis. Like, yeah, you should go there every day, huh? I know.
Well, so you're doing them a favor, quite frankly.
You're going to the Rate tonight.
I'm going to be at the Rate tonight. Oh. Now that is a better actually experience. It doesn't have the great vantage point. Press box is comfortable.
Or the crowd.
Or the crowd.
Or the team.
And the CHSN's setup is very nice on the left field line. Yes. Well, now that they sent Tim Elko down.
Yeah. Poor Tim.
You guys gonna get into that some?
I think we just did right there. What do you think about Tim Elko being sent down,
Dan?
That's a shame. All right, on the show.
You guys
today.
Are really missing out because that's good opportunity for outrage. Molly and I really were upset about that.
Hey, well, aren't they playing Texas?
Yes.
Oh, Brett Boone. That's my guy. Booney. Booney's my guy. He's the hitting coach. Booney and I, we're on a texting basis.
So, you know,
basis.
Dan Levy's going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Big Dan will be there.
Hey, what's going on, man? On the show today, we've got so much going on that I can't even tell you everything, but we're going to talk about Bears right out of the gate. We're going to talk about Caleb Williams, and Ross Tucker came in hot with you guys today. So we will discuss that and play that for the audience. We are going to talk to Mo Egger of Cincinnati Radio at 11 o'clock because the Cubs are playing the Reds. Trey Hendrickson is a person of interest with the Bengals and maybe with the Chicago Bears. Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane at 11:25. Baldy will bring his breakdown to us at 1 p.m. Mm. And Taylor McGregor talking Cubs with us at 1:25.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Ask Kevin Fishbane how he got into the business.
That's a great question.
Because his new podcast, Asks Others, is very good.
Which is a great idea because there is nothing that we in this business like to do more than talk about ourselves. So it's a beautiful
thing.
I'll
be listening.
Yeah, we'll come coming up on The Score.
Have a good show. Guys.